There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Here we are on a Tuesday night, the 7th of October, 2014, and it is just about 1 minute and 41 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Just a point of housekeeping interest here. In a few weeks, there's going to be a time change here in the United States of America. And since it's fall, we will roll the clocks back an hour. So for you folks that do not have a time change in your country, because remember, there's a lot of people listening around the world, and hello to all of you, be aware of that. I'll let you know ahead of time, but I just wanted you to start thinking about that, because if I don't, one of these Tuesday nights, you're going to log on at whatever time it is where you are, and you're going to find out that the show has been on the air for over an hour. So I just wanted to make sure that you start thinking about how there's a time change here in Oklahoma. So just keep that in mind. There's a it is a system. It's a protocol. It's a habit. It's a way of doing business. It's passed down from one generation to the next. It's wrote about in books. It's seen in television shows and movies, and it's also mentioned in songs and poems. It's the way things are done is another way to describe what I'm referring to. And that is to get cleaned up and put your church shoes on and go to a building or a structure somewhere at a designated time and wait until the person running the service says, "All those who would like to be prayed for, all those who need a healing, all those who have any trouble in your life, or all these dramatic issues and circumstances," they just don't want you to admit to yourself that something just isn't perfect in your life. That, I mean, pain is pain, whether it's financial or physical or emotional. Pain is pain. They want you to swallow hard and literally choose to be noticed by everyone in the building and to go to the front of the group and to stand patiently in a line in front of people you know and work with, and sometimes people that are complete strangers to you, and patiently wait in this line for a for a healing, for something positive to happen. Now, and here's the absolute Christ way of looking at it. You set aside time in your day. You clean yourself up. You choose the right clothes. Perhaps you coordinate this with friends or family. You even decide that maybe you're going to get together with some friends and family and share a meal before or maybe after this morning's or evening's occurrence. And you travel to this structure or building. And you wait. And maybe you even inquire to an usher or someone that's passing out literature, is there going to be a call tonight? Is there going to be a healing line? And then you think about, the whole time you think about how you've got to get up there. And you're thinking about what's wrong and how bad you want it to be gone and how long you've endured this situation or physical issue or whatever it is. And then you think about how you're going to have to get up there and everybody's going to know. Because sometimes at certain places, they want you to say what's wrong. That you have a sore knee, a bad back, a sore shoulder, a bad eye, a lump in your body, a bad diagnosis, chronic pain, financial issues. So it isn't just that something's wrong. You got to swallow hard and give details to a room of people. Maybe it's being televised or taped or recorded. And you're in a line, which means that the people in this line have something wrong with them. And the natural assumption is that the people sitting in the chairs do not. They're fine. So not only are you singled out, not only are you special, but it's in a negative light and tone. It's like the group in front of the room are like an island of misfit toys. Now, everybody listening to this show, unless they're a very young child, you've probably either participated or seen this in person or in some type of media. But now there's a very simple question. Where's Christ? Where's grace? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's Jesus? Because I see a lot of effort here in the world and the flesh. I see a lot of focus and concentration on the abnormalities and pain of the body. I see where there's a lot of room and an open invitation to openly and publicly admit that you have issues in your life. Now, the definition of a church is an undetermined amount of people at any given moment of the day collectively decide to get together and worship God's love and brag and talk about the wondrous experiences of grace and what grace has done for them, is doing for them, and the exuberant excitement and anticipation of what is grace gonna do next. Does these two scenarios even sound like they belong in the same page, let alone paragraph of a book? How can you open your mind and heart and take advantage of the grace that you're born with, that the blood of Jesus paid for, when you're focused on the prayer line, the healing meeting? Because, Jim, this is a serious thing that's going on, isn't it?
Well, it's an interesting subject.
Did I do all right bringing this?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And how many of you that are listening think this is an interesting subject tonight? I think it's very interesting. And, of course, there's a lot of different ways that we're going to talk about this. One thing I can say right off the front, because some of you that are listening that are very aware of your Bibles and things that are spoken of in the New Covenant, New Testament, things that Jesus said himself. He talked over there to the disciples about the Great Commission. One of them was to go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The disciples obviously followed that because through the hands of the apostles, Acts 5:12, many signs and wonders were done among the people. So on one hand, you can see in Scripture, it's not as though this isn't a doctrine of the church. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, one of the elementary doctrines of the church, laying on of hands. God's mercy is seen so many different ways in helping people. And obviously, one of the ways to help people that are not aware of grace is to be able to be ministered to and have a laying on of hands service, have a time where hands are laid on them. I get that. That's true. Some of the angle and the point of which I'm enjoying tonight already, even from the very beginning and from the things that BJ talked about, is to help us begin to recognize where we put actually our hope, where we put our faith, where we, if you will, put our energy, which for the most part, if you watch people in the modern day, they're pretty much building up constantly nothing but the problem, the issue. Can't tell you how many people I've had in a line, healing line, where people were standing there where you ask them what's going on and they'll literally start going down a list. And when you say, well, you came here to be free of all that, well, I didn't tell you everything yet. I need to tell you more. I need to tell you more about what the problem is. Or the doctor said this and this and this and this. So isn't it interesting how much of the flesh and the world our perspective comes from? And I've been in churches where, or services where there were, let's say, 3,000-4,000 people in a service, and when the call came to have hands laid on them, half of the place, if not three-quarters of the place, got up and came down to have hands laid on them. Which says what? All their confidence is in someone praying a prayer for me, but not being able to receive myself. You know from this show, the last almost 3 years of this show going on, that what we're endeavoring to do is raise the awareness. No, it's not breast cancer awareness that we're raising the awareness of. We're raising the awareness of people making choices to experience grace in their own personal life. So that's why the angle that we take tonight, I want you to understand it from that perspective and see how easy it is to get caught up in the group concept of just what everybody does versus applying yourself with half the effort to acknowledge the grace of God that you have to use for all the effort you've got to swim through and work through to try to get up to a line and be ready to be prayed for and to be ministered to. I think it's a very interesting subject tonight. We certainly would ask you to send in your thoughts, email, text. I think BJ will give you some of the information here coming up soon. But an interesting topic, to be sure.
Why are you over there smiling?
Because I think it's fun to talk about this.
What were you going to say?
Well, just from this perspective.
Yeah.
It's going to open up people's minds. Like I said, it's not as though the Bible doesn't give us an understanding of God's mercy to help people in a variety of different ways. But opening up our minds in this perspective that we're going to give tonight is really important to people's progress.
This is one of the first perspectives I received as to why
there's not very many churches and there's so many buildings and structures. Because a real church would not even have a hint of this. It would be unacceptable. It wouldn't even be thought of. The folks, if you want to send a text message, it just worked. I tried it out and it worked fine. Like always, the first word that you want to type is the word grace. After you type the word grace, you can type the rest of your comment or question. And when you press the send button and it asks you for a number to send the text message to, there's no one, there's no area code, it's just 69302. That's 69302 for text messaging. And if you want to send an email, it's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence. It's all one word, there's no capital letters or spaces. Just type out The Abiding Presence and then the at sign. And then it's Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com, for the same thing. If you just want to say hello or say hi to another listener, or you have a comment or question, or how tonight's topic is affecting you or what it's bringing to you. And all the ways to contact the show are on the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. We got some emails here. We got an email that came in 6 days ago, and it says, last night on the radio show, so this was the last show was the 30th of September. Right. This came in Wednesday the 1st.
Okay.
It says, last night on the radio show, you said the live feed for Wednesday was only available from your Facebook page. I was hoping I could still access it from the Ustream app or from the link on your ministry site. Unfortunately, I couldn't. Also, I can't find any link to the live from Facebook. I'll admit I rarely use Facebook. I'm a real novice and really not interested in it, but I've asked each of my grown children to help me at various times, and none of them can find the link either. I wrote to your office, but your admin couldn't help me either. I feel sad that I'm missing the Wednesday night teaching. Is there any way to make them more accessible? Or can you help me to know how to access them? This is says thanks, and this is from somebody in Ontario.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get some answers for you while the program's going on, so we'll continue, and then I'll
get some answers. I see a little bit of confusion in this, and I think what people have to understand is that the Wednesday nights at the Hardesty Library, where Jim is literally being filmed, like televised, like television, it isn't anything like this radio show. This radio show, you can literally log on at any time, day or night, and you can hear the stream, because it streams 24/7. And then you can also go to the archives page, which you hear us mention and other people, and listen to past shows. There's a lot of confusion that this is also the way the Wednesday nights work at the library. It is not. The only time that the link actually works, and perhaps the only time that the link is visible to be used, is when Jim is actually speaking on camera at the library. In other words, it's Wednesday nights from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. So what you have to do is be on Facebook at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Wednesday nights, and then the link will be there. There's no archives. It isn't available 24/7. So it's almost like watching the 6 o'clock news. If you're not on a TV channel at 6 o'clock, you're going to miss the news. It's not repeated, and it isn't broadcast again. So with that frame of mind, that will help. You can also reach the Facebook page through Jim's ministry page. So try that. Oh, I sneezed. You know what that means?
What's that?
Coyote.
Oh, that's right.
Whenever I sneeze...
It's been a long time.
Whenever I sneeze, it means that there's a coyote close enough to shoot. What was that?
That was what we just did out there. We could see him.
Oh, what he was doing was he put his hands up to his face. I didn't know if it was some kind of weird pasteurizing sign language.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it. That's the reason I did that.
What it is tonight before the show, it's getting darker here. You know, we're losing a minute of daylight. So tonight, I took out some of my, let's say, sneaking around equipment. And I've got some thermal imaging, which Jim died when he found out how much it costs. And what it does is you can use it at 12 midnight or you can use it at high noon in sunlight. And it's just like in the movies when you see people's bodies and heat reflection.
Yeah.
You were having
cool.
fun with it.
Real cool.
Well, you're looking at Ranger and you were looking at the barn cats and we were looking around to see any wildlife, but there wasn't
I was
any.
Far enough away from the barn to where my car was. There would be no way I would see a shadow or BJ's anything about him if he were to go from my car
I was hiding behind
to the
car.
Ranger.
I was hiding behind the car.
But with this thing, literally could see everything. I mean, it was awesome. I mean,
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I think we covered that email pretty good for this person, and so
okay, and also, by the way, I'm getting some other answers too that will probably go right along with.
Okay,
that,
okay? We got another one here. We got another email from another lady in Omaha. I wonder if this is a lady from Omaha that I met at your house.
I bet it is.
Her name's Christine, and she's saying the same thing. On about the Facebook, Jim's ministry website, Ustream. So if she's listening, the information I gave will help her as well. All right, we got another email that came in 7 hours ago. It says, hello from Tony in Toronto to all the listeners. So everybody listening, Tony says hi from Canada. Jim, BJ Ranger, and the horses in the barn. I wanted to share with you what happened today with a Christian woman who asked for prayer for her marriage. In addition to praying for people, I lead them into an encounter with Christ so that they can interact with him themselves instead of relying on others to ask on their behalf. Well, we're talking about that tonight.
That's what we're talking about.
And he said that the person had an amazing encounter with Christ who gave her such love that she remarked she had never known love until today's encounter. And he said for the lady who wrote in a while ago about thyroid problems being emotionally based, they can be put it is Christ and your loving relationship with him that heals you, then your body just follows your head. So it sounds like Tony is picking up on some of the things we're talking about on the show.
Okay.
We got one that came in 24 minutes ago. Remember, folks, you can send emails and texts. It says, greetings, BJ and Jim. First, I would like to tell you how much, Jim, your analogy last week regarding Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes. It resonated with me through the lens of religiosity.
Religiosity?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think
never seen that word before. I only saw that as an act where Jesus was authenticating his deity. But when you spoke about this being him teaching how to respond by choosing to be a spirit connected to God versus a fleshly connection to the world, it was truly eye-opening. Wow, we have been missing so much. I'm almost feeling undeserving to have called myself a believer up until this point. Thank you both for being so intentional in your mission to enlarge our understanding of absolute truth. This is from Keisha in Pennsylvania.
You know, I really, really like what she just said. Listen to the humility, and yet to me, that's completely the arms and heart wide open to receive from God. Saying it almost, you know, embarrasses me to think about myself being a believer or a Christian. See, that's how I've been. The more you see this, then the more you see what you used to call accurate, and then you realize it wasn't accurate at all. And that's a very humbling. But the moment you can get to the point of this email, to me, that's the beginning right there of your walk with God and your progression in grace.
The more time I spend with the guys, the more time I spend talking on your show and learning all this stuff, I'm really starting to see that Stealing a car or killing someone...
I know what you're going to say.
...really isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
You knew where I was going with this?
Yeah, I did.
Yes. Because there are millions of people that, I guess you would say, for lack of a better way to say it, are leading a good, decent life.
Right, right.
But the problem is they refuse to humble themselves to say, you know what? The way I worship and where I worship, I don't think it's going right. I've been praying for years, and I haven't seen jack.
Right.
Nothing good's come of my prayers. And I really don't know anything. And every once in a while, I hear about something in the news or in a magazine, but that doesn't make sense. Because Scripture says this stuff is supposed to be as everyday as brushing my teeth and getting dressed.
Right, right.
I think it's tragic that people are so, I don't know what it is, steadfast, stubborn, egotistical, vain, arrogant, afraid, scared to literally look themselves in the mirror and say, I'm not doing this right.
Remember I talked to you tonight, I asked you some questions about going back in history that really takes us all the way back to colonial days and the early settlers and establishing law back in those days and how they were going to integrate, because most of the people at that time were Christian in their belief, but they'd been run over by the church in England, and they were trying to establish how they would allow their Christian beliefs and morality to be a part of either church and state, state and church, or to be completely separate. Remember we were talking about that?
Yep.
Well, as I was reading some of that last night, Chloe and I, by the way, if you're listening and wondering what's going on, Chloe and I were doing some homework last night, and I was reading over some of her stuff. To be really honest, it's just so sad. I go over the kids' history stuff, and I just learn the most wonderful things that I guess I should have known for, 30 or 40 years. But it's great. I love to go over the history lessons. So I'm going over this, and it's sharing these thoughts about, Christianity and integrating God into church and state or not, or being separate. And the separatists wanted everything just completely shut down, where the only time you had any type of religious belief was in your own home behind your own closed doors. As soon as you walk out of your house, you can't say anything or influence anybody. And of course, that leads today. Think about how that prepared people for what we have today, where people only think for the most part about being religious or quote-unquote spiritual or having some type of connection with God when they're behind four walls and they've got somebody up there preaching or going to ask them to come down and have hands laid on them. In other words, there's no interaction with God themselves. And this is a learned negative, wrong behavior throughout centuries and throughout years. Well, BJ, I'm getting to something here, and that is this. We went further, and as I went further in reading, it said this. It said, for the most part, the big problems that people have as far as wrong, everybody pretty well knows that it's wrong. And it said, it's not hard to get, for instance, the world, people that aren't believing in Christ, to agree with you that murder is wrong, that stealing is wrong, that rape would be wrong, or some of these big things, people will agree, yes, those are wrong. But it was sharing that where it gets difficult is in what we call the smaller things. Everything gets lost in its own translation and in its own interpretation, and no longer can you draw definitive lines. And I think that has something to do with what we're talking about here tonight, too. It's so easy for things to get lost, where you talked about it's not so much as bad for the murderer or for the guy that did this or that. That's not as bad as all the nice people that aren't doing anything. And you just described Revelation chapter 3, where Paul talks about be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the big things people see. That they are wrong, but it's the other areas where everybody lumps them into their own interpretation and everything gets sideways.
Yeah, the overwhelming majority of people, once they find grace and they go, oh, I can't believe I have it. This is wonderful. I'm a completely new person. My life will never be the same again. And it's really like that. And right. if it isn't, then you don't have it.
Right.
And they may not admit it, but they know it. What was in the way was something really stupid. Really small.
Mm. Mm.
It's like... the only thing keeping them from grace was they had the wrong color socks on. It's going to be something really, really crazy.
Right.
It isn't
right.
going to be because they're big, fat liars and they're thieves. It's going to be because there is something really small in their way.
Okay. What about me being at the car dealer getting Drew's oil change, okay?
Okay.
Remember I told you about that lady?
Yeah. Tell that story.
Well... Folks, this guy over here across the table, he's rubbing off on me, so I'm watching people more. and I'm starting to see what he's seeing, which is, it's helpful for me because there's part of what I see in people I see sometimes in myself, and then I think, oh, dear God, no wonder why I'm not going faster. So it's being very helpful. So anyhow, I'm at the car dealership, and I'm sitting in the little waiting room, you know, for the oil change to be done. And this lady walks in, and she's got this, you know, her purse and a big bag with her, and she grabs a water and, I don't know, anyhow, ridiculous, pours a whole bunch of it on the floor. And then she just looks at it and then walks away and starts talking with this guy. And they talk forever, you know, and the water's still on the floor. And then she comes down and sits down, and probably about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, and she's got this big Bible that she pulls out of this one bag. She's yeah. got it on her lap and going through it and everything. And come walk down the stairs. Two of the ladies that work in the upstairs office of the dealership that are paid employees, and they walk to get their coffee, and immediately both of them will go, oh, and look down and see this pop bottle of water. And immediately when they saw it, she leans over and says, oh, yeah, watch out for the water. While they lean down, look at it, grab napkins that are sitting there and begin to soak it up.
Yeah, because they treat it like a 911 emergency.
Right.
Because like they don't want anybody to slip and fall.
Yeah, it's like, be responsible.
Yeah.
And she yells out, hey, watch the water.
And what did I say my reaction would be?
Oh, well, you would have said something like, I don't know, how's that book working for you there? If you can't even be responsible enough to clean up your own water, do you think the Bible's going to work?
Yeah, you know, I would have said something like, how can you be accountable when you can't even admit that you spilt water? How are you gonna change directions? Right. How are you gonna repent?
And you're not willing enough to do something about your spill.
Right.
So you be willing enough to do something about changing directions?
And what's really sad about this woman, because you know what? I bet she makes a real good supper. I bet she makes a real good meal. I bet her house is probably nice and ordered, and she's got lots of friends, and she's
sure.
probably a nice grandmother. But right. you know what? Where does this type of thinking come in where she figures she's off the hook and she can plan B it by saying, oh, yeah, there's water there? See, in her own mind, she let herself off the hook. There was no accountability and responsibility. If you can't be accountable for spilling water at a car dealership, how do you think you're going to be accountable to yourself and repent so that you can have grace in your life?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, just think, they say, oh, she never goes anywhere without her Bible. Oh, she's a wonderful person. She'll pray for you. And oh, yeah, she's, yeah. Someone dies in your house, she'll bring over a casserole in no time. She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to heaven, she is. Right. Oh, yeah. There's water over there. Look out for the water. There's water over there.
It's a perfect example. I mean, I really enjoyed the lesson I was learning from it, but it's a perfect example of why, again, all this stuff is a part of what causes people yeah. to have no conviction. There's nothing that no. you know. I was talking to somebody today about. Well, I actually told him about your story with the guy at the bridge there, with the guy with the hand that was withered, and he couldn't write. And he wanted you to pray for him, and you said, I don't really want to pray for you.
Don't need to.
And he said, well, I want you to pray for me. So you just kind of threw out these, you know, snickerdoodles and snicker bar and potato chips. And he said, what in the world's that? And you said, that's a prayer. And he goes, that's not a prayer. And he goes, yes, it is.
It's not about the words. It's about what's behind them.
And I was telling this person, I said, you know for sure that you and I have both been exposed to someone standing in a pulpit that lowered their voice and with flowery words, now, Father, we thank you that with all glory, thy power and thy anointing is with us.
Amen, Lord, brother.
Yeah. And I said, and how many of those?
Amen.
How many of those prayers worked?
Glory, glory.
And the whole idea is none of them work because there's nothing in it. There's nothing behind the prayer.
We got some text messages.
Uh-oh.
Why are you smiling? Did my voice sound funny? Did I sound like a lady when I was talking like that?
No, you did some pretty good amens, though.
Did I?
Yeah.
It says, hello, Ranger, Jim, and BJ, tuning in from the warehouse in North Carolina.
Oh, that's Nick.
Nick.
Hey, Nick, I was in North Carolina. Where were you?
We haven't heard from Nick in a long time. Then we got another one. It says, I could not find the link either on Jim's Facebook page. I tried during that time. I've just, you know, I just tried something.
Huh.
I don't know if this is a problem, but it could be for some people. I got on Facebook, and because, you know, I have a big Facebook page for the radio show. And did you know you have more than one Facebook page?
Yeah, there's a ministry Facebook page, and then there's just Jim Hockaday Facebook page.
Yeah, and so I don't know if people are doing this or not.
Maybe that's what's throwing it off.
Because, I just press your name, Jim, and your ministry Facebook page comes up.
Okay.
But I typed your name in, and I scrolled down. There's, you have two Facebook pages. And so one of them is a personal one, and one of them is a ministry one.
Okay.
And you haven't posted anything on your personal page since the 1st of August. And it's a picture of somebody's dog.
Okay.
You might want to just dump it. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind dumping that.
You know, just delete that personal Facebook page. So that the only one that comes up is your ministry one?
I'd actually be okay with that.
Just a suggestion.
Yep. Okay. That might work.
See, I have a problem with my Facebook page because people want to friend me.
Uh-huh.
And Facebook won't let them friend me anymore. Because there's a limit. You're only allowed 5,000 friends. You know, that sounds so weird. You know what's...
You're only allowed 5,000 friends.
And I got 5,000 friends. But see, this is what's funny. And this literally happened today. I went to the feed store today, and the daughter of the feed store owner, she says, can I ask you a question? And I go, yeah. And she says, I wanted to friend you on Facebook. And she says, and it said that you have too many friends. And she says, BJ, she says, I don't want to be insulting. She says, but... there's not 5,000 people that like you. and she says, I told my mom, I said, Mom, BJ's on Facebook page and he's got 5,000 friends. And my mom started laughing and said, that's funny. And I said, they're not my friends. I said, they listen to the radio show. And I said, but yeah.
That's pretty good.
But it might be because you got more than one page.
Okay. Well, anyhow, folks, I'm going to get this straightened out.
Did you get this one? We got another text that said, awesome discussion tonight. I'm getting it. Let's see if we got any emails. I want to bring something into this that I want people to consider. It's been about 2.5-3 months now where Jim and I said that we want to escalate. We don't want the radio show to get flat or boring or stale. We don't want there to be a plateau. That we want you to be rocked and shocked, and we want to give you things to consider. Hopefully, every show is our goal. But there has to be a time. And with all seriousness, There has to be a time when you literally have to do a self-diagnosis and say, what's going on here? Where is my grace? Why am I not experiencing my grace? Where's mine? I really need my grace. Why isn't it happening right now? I don't get it. What's wrong with this? Because there's anger in that. There's frustration in that. Mm-hmm. There's desire in that. Mm-hmm. And there's also, and with that, because if you have anger and you have desire,
right,
and you have mystery and puzzlement, and you're starting to demand, and you're saying, come on, where is mine? Well, doesn't that sound like a person that would say those things know that grace is real?
Right.
They know that they should have their share. I mean, it's no different than a bunch of bank robbers saying, where's my cut? Okay, we're all supposed to get $50,000. Where's my $50,000? I helped rob the bank. Where's my cut? Okay, I'm born with grace. Jesus' blood paid for my sin. Where's my grace? I want my grace. It's mine. Where is it? Why don't I have it? What's wrong? What's going on here? Because listen to this. It's not about politeness. It's not about politically correctness. It's not about whether you're rude or whether it's blasphemy. Look at the emotion and the desire
right.
in that
right.
to say, where is it? I know I'm supposed to have it. Where is mine? Because at that point, you start to find answers in your own life. Not so much in your behavior, not so much in how you dress or the way you look, whether you're 20 pounds overweight or whether you wish you had the money for I don't know, plastic surgery or Botox, some stupid thing like that. But you all of a sudden you say, what am I doing to myself? What am I denying me? Because that's what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
The denial of ourselves.
Right. Right.
You can't blame your wife or your girlfriend or your boss or your husband or your parents or you can't say, well, I am going to a building and a structure. That guy he's just a really good business manager. I'm getting screwed. No, we're past this right now. It comes down to us, individual. What am I denying me? Why am I in my own darn way?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to read a passage over here in Genesis 22 and start in verse 6. Because, like we said tonight, there's a couple different ways that we could share some of these thoughts, but I really want to stay on this side of all of us individually taking more responsibility with what we believe the grace of God will do for us and in our lives. And this might mean that we become a little bit more creative in the way that we allow God to be bigger than most of the situations that we face. I don't see enough, and in my own life, I'm definitely applying this area. I don't see enough of the disdain for the flesh and the world symptoms or crisis that comes. I see way too much respect for them. I see fear gripping people and overwhelming folks. I see people eat up with the idea of studying everything that they can find on their problem, their symptom, their cause, what the outcome of the procedure is going to be. But I look over here at a guy named Abraham, and it says, and Abraham took the wood, verse 6, of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to his father Abraham and said, my father, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place which God had told them of, And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then, of course, the angel of the Lord called to him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I share that to say, look at Abraham's response. There was no delay. He wasn't saying, son, look, it's kind of difficult. It's hard to explain. He just flat said, listen, son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice, although he knew he was going to put Isaac there and kill him and watch God raise him up out of the ashes and then provide a lamb. This, folks, is 100% conviction. And Abraham, you could say, is betting his entire life and the life of his son on God being there right on time to deliver them and to give them the lamb that would spare their son. This is commitment. This is conviction. It's a consecration. I remember Brother Hagin said before he left in 2003 and went to be with the Lord, I remember him saying, this generation knows very little about commitment and dedication or consecration. Those are the old-time values and characteristics of a man's soul, of giving his word, of giving his bond, of being so committed even to a fault, but he would stay with what he said, and he would persevere. These are some of the elements that we've lost in society. And as a result of it, we find ourselves spinning in circles. In fact, BJ and I were talking, and some of these things even had to do with talking about children and young people. And we were making comments, and some of the tasks and some of the jobs that we give our kids at home, some of our girls, for them to do. And BJ was even giving me some ideas of some other things that we could give them to do. And it's not about just making them busy. It's about teaching them that nothing comes free. Everything is about putting your hand to the plow. Everything is about being diligent. Everything is about respecting good hard work and persevering and being committed to see success. And without those type of commitments, people have such a laziness in the way that they approach life. And you said something, BJ, about one of your workers and how a parent, her parent, commented to you. Can you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. It happens a lot with kids and, say, people like 25 years or younger. They'll come to work here at the ranch, and it usually takes a month or two before it happens. And by the third month, their parents will say, I'm really glad they're working here. And I go, why? And they'll say, well, because they notice things more. They take more responsibility. Uh-huh. They don't ask for as many things. They don't think they're as important or special. They don't seem to care and whine and snivel about things. They just seem to really be more in control of themselves, and you know, they just seem to be positively different.
Right.
And, it's because we, I guess for lack of the way it works here on the ranch is nobody is special. There isn't anything on the ranch that I ask anybody to do or any responsibilities that they have that I don't do myself and can't do in a heartbeat. And nobody has any special recognition. Everybody is schooled, taught, trained, whatever you want to put, so that everybody can do everything the same way. There isn't a piece of equipment or any horse or any duties or tasks that have to be performed on the ranch that at any given moment someone can't do.
Yes.
There's no hierarchy. Nobody thinks that they're special. No one is above anybody. And that lends itself to a personal responsibility, and that more of a family team effort. But it also, what it does is it makes people have to be accountable.
Right. Well, even when I'm on the ranch, it's just a matter of doing what you're supposed to do and doing a real good job. And and again, all about accountability, thinking for yourself, but mostly staying under the confines of what you're told to do.
How many times have I asked you to do something on the ranch, Jim, and you couldn't see it?
Well, it's
And then I'd explain it to you, and I'd say, well, it's because you're looking at it from your point of view. I says, but I have to look at it from the ranch point of view, the big picture, the greater picture, the cause and effect. For every action, there's a reaction. So if you do it this way, this will occur. But if you do it this way, then that eliminates this from happening.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, because I have to take everybody's safety into consideration.
Sure.
And see, the point of this, folks, is do you do that for yourself? Do you just look at your life and like that's just right 6 inches in front of your face? I mean, are you concerned about today? Are you worried about tomorrow when you wake up? Are you going to go to bed tonight saying, well, I got to deal with this again tomorrow, Wednesday?
Right.
And say, well, tomorrow's Wednesday. I only have to deal with this for a couple more days, and then it's the weekend, and I get a 2-day reprieve. Because that type of attitude is very limiting.
Yeah.
That type of perspective and looking at things is very confining. And how many times have you said or read, don't worry about the troubles of the day?
Right, right.
Don't worry about where you sleep, where you eat, where you live. If I take care of the birds and the bees. When does there come a point where you read something in Scripture or you hear something on this show and you expect it and you demand it? When is it going to become so real to you?
Right.
And so important to you? I'm not talking about me, Jim, or my dog, Ranger. I'm talking about the message. And when does it come? When are you going to just draw a line in the dirt and there's just nowhere, no other way to say it? Enough is enough.
Right.
I'm done with this crap. It's now. And because until you have that energy, until you have that, because think about this, folks. Think about what these words mean. I've been saved. I've been reborn. I have salvation. It's a fresh start. I'm a new person. All those phrases and terms, they all mean one thing and one thing only. A huge, monumental, drastic, dramatic change. I'm not talking from a lighter shade of gray to a darker shade of gray. I'm talking about going from white to red, or from red to green.
Right.
I'm talking about a serious change. If you've been baptized, you've had a communion, you say that you're saved, you say that you're reborn, and you honestly, now come on now, you honestly, literally are close or even 40 to 50, 60, 95% the same as you were before you went through these processes,
right,
and somebody tagged you with these words, are you really doing what Scripture suggests?
Right. Very good.
Okay. We got near it says, can you give us some examples of creativity with grace? And it says, thank you. And it says, what's the problem when you have many but not all answers to prayers? Those are two text messages that we have. Jim, give us an example of creativity with grace.
Well, it's a matter of being open for you to believe that grace is tangible enough to use it on things. I remember back when I was in a church service and I had ministered to the people, and I could feel grace or the anointing, the presence of God in my hands, and they were just hot as can be. And I was just sitting there, and the pastor's, you know, he's up there and he's taking up an offering, and I'm just having a conversation with the Lord saying, you know, I don't get this. Why am I having this so strong in my hands? So I just experimented, and I put my hand on the seat, and that grace went all over that seat. I know this sounds crazy, but I got a little boy across the aisle there. I got his attention, and I waved him over, and I said, would you just sit next to me? And he sat next to me, and within about 10 seconds, he started just acting really funny, and I said, what's going on with you? He said, I'm really hot. I don't know why I'm hot, but I'm really burning up. I'm hot. And I just looked at him and laughed, and I said, you want to go back and sit back with your, you know, your family? He goes, oh, yeah. And so he ran back to his family. My point being, I just experimented with grace. I wanted to see what it would do. I wanted to see if I could use grace. So what about using grace on you personally? What about using, I think about different things in my own personal life. Using grace when I minister, that's mostly what I do. But using grace when I minister in all different kinds of ways. BJ, I think about all the different things on the ranch where you use grace for all kinds of things. I mean, whether it was something where you hit your thumb and it should have been broken to the point of doing hay and getting it done this last time.
Every time's faster.
20, 30 minutes faster than you did before.
No, hours.
Was it hours?
Yeah. Yep.
So it becomes how conscious you are that there's something tangible called grace with you. And that this is the solution for everything. It's the cure-all. Have you remembered hearing the wonderful, I love this illustration that BJ gave years ago, and it is years ago, but grace is like a multi-purpose tool.
Yeah, it is. It's the world's greatest multi-tool.
You can use it on anything and everything.
Grace should be available, and it should be considered like one of those commercials in the middle of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about grace. Grace can do anything for you. Grace can open doors. Grace will get those spots out of the carpet that the cat made. Grace will put a shine on your new car. The grace will fix that leak in the toilet. And you know, the wind blew those shingles off. Grace will take care of you. And that's not all. If you subscribe to just one instance of grace, we'll throw in an unlimited amount of grace.
Yes.
At no extra charge. There's no shipping. There's no handling. Grace is available to you. Operators are standing by. I mean, that's what grace is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be exciting. I'll tell you what I think is creativity about grace. What I like to do is I'll go to a place and I'll just wait for someone to come along that has just a tad of grace showing. You know, it's like somebody that walks out of a bathroom and they've got a couple pieces of toilet paper stuck to their shoe. and they're walking and they don't know it's there.
Right.
Okay, well, there's people, a lot of people, that are walking around with just a little bit of grace showing.
Okay.
And they don't know it's there.
Okay.
And I'll watch them. And then I'll see what the right opportunity. And then I'll say, you know, that's grace. And they instantly go, oh, it was, wasn't it? And I go, yeah. And they'll say, I didn't notice it before.
Right.
And then I'll say, you know what? And they go, what? And I'll say, I wonder what's going to happen now. Because, you know, grace is like a row of dominoes.
Yep.
You touch it once and you get one instance of grace to tap another instance of grace, and it's like a row of dominoes, just boom, 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 boom. And so we've talked about on the show, how much grace do you see?
Right.
How much? But what's interesting is maybe tomorrow, instead of asking how much grace you see, why don't you spend tomorrow, Wednesday, the 8th of October, why don't all day long you walk around saying, I wonder how much grace I'm missing?
That's a good question.
If you're at work, you're on the highway, just say, you know, there's grace here. Because grace is everywhere. Because if you say grace isn't everywhere, then you've literally just said that Christ, well, there's certain places Christ doesn't go. And I'm here to tell you, whether it's a gas station, your job, your garage,
right,
your basement, your
right,
bedroom, the place where you worship, or it's a bar where women take their clothes off, grace is everywhere. Because if you argue that it isn't, if you say there's certain places where grace doesn't go, well, where is that in Scripture? That literally means that there is some place that a child of God, a creation of Christ, can go where there is no grace. Does anybody think that sounds just a little bizarre and just completely off the wall?
That's why the Old Testament scripture says, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the highest heights, you're there, and if I go to the lowest depths, you're there.
There you go. We got another one here. It's a text that says, what's the problem when you have many but not all answers to prayers? I don't know. What is your problem? Because what you've just admitted is that you've had a prayer answered and that you believe in grace and that you've seen grace.
I'm going to give an example.
You have to get in your... What, I don't know what's in your way. I don't know who sent that, but I'm laying it back on them because
right,
that's where it belongs.
And this example is just that. I remember talking to a guy I ministered to. He said, my hip and my shoulder are perfect. He said, but what about my inner ear? He said, my right ear.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I said to him, I said, well, here's the problem. I said, the reason why your hip and shoulder are fine is because they weren't a big deal to you. I said, your ear was a big deal, so you made a mountain out of it. Remember, folks, if Jesus said a mountain can come down by a speck of faith, what's he really saying? Maybe there's really not a mountain there. Maybe it's just what you think is a mountain. So here's the problem with this guy. It's like I was telling somebody tonight. If you walked around a corner, and by the way, when I'm done with this, there's some housekeeping to do here concerning this live streaming. I've finally figured it out. We've got it located, and we can get everybody hooked up. But if you were to walk around the corner of, or actually, let's say you're moving quickly around a corner of some counter space, and that corner of the countertop stuck out and caught you in the hip, and you went, ow! And some, your husband, wife, or somebody said, well, what's wrong? Oh, it's nothing. I just hit my hip on the corner of this counter. Are you all right? Well, of course I'm all right. I mean, the worst is going to happen to be a little bit of a bruise. Okay. So now you come around a corner, and the doctor says, looks like a tumor, looks like cancer, looks like melanoma, it looks like lymphoma, it looks like you're dying. You've got 6 months to live. Well, shouldn't you respond the same exact way? Oh, you're kidding. Well, that's no big deal. It'll be gone in a couple days. See, I mean, the idea that you paint one to be something that has value, but you minimize the other, in the eyes of the Spirit, according to Jesus, they all mean nothing.
It goes back to something that we haven't mentioned on this show in I don't know how long. There's two old-fashioned train tracks with two old-fashioned trains, the kind that the steam locomotives that had to stop for water, and right behind the locomotive was a car full of firewood, and they had the door open, and they were chucking logs in the fire to keep the boiler hot, to keep the steam going, to keep the train going down the tracks. And so the faster the train wanted to go, and the more cars that were hooked, and the more power it needed, the more wood, the more logs they would chuck in the fire. Well, there's two locomotives in your
right,
existence.
Right.
There's a locomotive called grace, and then there's a locomotive called the world and the flesh.
Right.
And what you have to understand is at any given moment and any given time, any given instant of your life, you're chucking wood.
Right.
Either you're
all the time.
Either you're throwing wood in the world flesh locomotive and it's flying down the tracks with all of its drama and issues, and it's a big sweaty effort. Or you're on the grace train and you're watching grace put logs on the fire for you.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think of this. Why would someone choose? Because it is a choice. Why would someone consciously choose to lose sleep over a lump in their body? Why would someone choose to lose sleep over an impending blood test or doctor's appointment? Why would you lose sleep over the fact that the doctor said, well, we drew the blood, we did the biopsy, I've sent it off to the lab, I've scheduled an appointment two Thursdays from this Thursday. So in 14 days, I'd like to see you back here and we can talk about it. So for 14 days,
right,
you have to listen to family and friends say, this is why I hate doctors. I can't believe it's going to take 2 weeks. Don't they know you don't feel good? Don't they know that I really want an answer now? Why? And then there's the insurance. Is this covered? What's the deductible? What's this going to do to your life?
Right.
Am I going to lose my job? Well, should I tell mom and dad about this? Should we tell the grandkids? Well, maybe we should wait till we get the results. Why would someone choose that path,
right,
that mentality,
right,
when at the same moment they could literally say, I am so grateful that you exist. I am so happy that you created me. And I am amazed at how fast grace does everything for me. I am so grateful to you guys. I think this is so funny and ridiculous. There's nothing to worry about. I'm not going to pray for a healing. I'm not even going to pray at all. I'm just going to say, I am so blessed and thankful that you are my Father.
Yeah.
Way to go, Christ. Way to go, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And hey, Grace, I can't wait to see what you do next. It's literally, it's not easy, but it's simple.
Yes.
Which one of those would you choose?
Right. Hey, I gotta say.
Why are you raising your hand at me?
Well, because you were looking at the screen. I thought you were going to keep on going. Everybody, I've got some answers.
I can stop.
No. It's good. I got some answers.
No, it's not a problem. I can just literally push this button.
Oh, yeah.
And while I'm talking.
Okay, everybody. This is a needful announcement here because of some of the difficulty we've had. And so put all the blame on me for all of those that have tried and tried and tried on the Facebook page, because it was on the Facebook page for a while. But here's where you can find the live streaming. If you'll go to jimhockaday.com. On one side of the page that opens, which is the main menu, you'll see the Abiding Presence, and you can link yourself right to us where we're listening tonight. On the other side, right underneath my picture, you'll see it says, stay tuned. We are live streaming the What is Reality Bible Study sessions on Wednesday nights. Tune in and join us. There's actually 29 people listening right now to the stream, and there's been over 4,000 people that have been listening since we've been doing the streaming. So it is being effective, and for those of you up in Canada and on those that have asked these questions about it, please go to the Jim Hockaday web page, not Facebook, just www.jimhockaday.com, and where it says stay tuned, you can click on it, and you can listen right into the last session of the live stream Wednesday night.
Well, there you go. Good job.
Turn yourself back on, please. You got to come back on the show. There you go. Really? Thanks.
Really? I have to?
You do, yeah.
There are buttons, Jim. See, I can just push button and I'm gone, and I can push it and I'm back, and I can push the button.
I know what you're capable of doing.
All right. We got some emails here. And you know what? Now, this is what you call, this is inadvertent learning.
Okay.
It's a psychological term, and I use it all the time working with people and their horses. Inadvertent learning is by repetitiveness. We have two emails. One is from Breakfast Ed, and the other one is from Florida Ed.
Okay, good.
And they're now associating themselves that way. This is from Breakfast Ed. It says, "Hey, Ranger, BJ, and Jim, shout out to all the listeners. Great show tonight, as always. Thank you guys for the role you are playing in our daily progress toward knowing we are a spirit. For everyone's information, they can catch all the archives for the library by ordering the MP3s off JimHuckaday.com website. Is that right?
Yes. Well, they won't get the video. It'll just be the audio.
Okay.
But they can actually get over 70 sessions.
Wow. And
on one of those.
This is says, "Best regards, Breakfast Ed." And Breakfast Ed, thank you from Ranger and myself for supporting the show. And this is from Florida Ed. It says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. This is Florida Ed." It says, "You know, the guy that didn't get the prostate biopsy, I just tuned in. So you may have touched my situation. My brother was recently badly broken and burned in a motorcycle accident. He died from the injuries. However, I prayed for him and thanked Grace continually for his recovery. I thanked Grace for his new skin and organs working in spite of. I will add that my family didn't all view Grace as I do. The result, my brother last 2 days longer than the doctors anticipated without life support, but died. From your point of view, where did I miss Grace? You were very absolute when I asked about a biopsy. I'd like the same this time. Thanks in advance, and God bless. Florida Ed."
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, was the brother unconscious? I mean, where was the brother in all this? What kind of decisions did he make? And so this is one of the places where
I mean, it's an assumption. I don't like to assume, but just from what he said, yeah, I'm pretty sure the brother was
unconscious.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Well, I didn't understand. So, anyhow, here's where I would say, you look at the ministry of Jesus and you'll see if you don't get everybody that has a shred of doubt out of the room, how are you going to make a connection that's going to cause their body to be well?
I think that and I want to qualify this first. It's not that you did anything wrong, and it's certainly not your fault that your brother's not around anymore. And so if you have those thoughts, or if you think that there's something that we're going to say that is going to make you feel that way, I just want to say right now, well, don't.
Well, of course not.
It's wrong. But this is a really good teaching tool, and I want to thank him for his bravery and honesty to just pour this out on the internet. That says something about Florida Ed's character. I just want to say that, just personal note from me and Ranger and Jim. Okay, there's a pattern in this email, and it's not. I wish it wasn't common, but it's as everyday as flushing a toilet or walking out of your door and seeing a cloud in the sky. It's just taken for granted that the way it is. There's this systemic issue with praying where there seems to be a ceremonial process of asking and detailing and acknowledging things that are going wrong, negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a motorcycle accident or a broken arm or a car loan or a job that's on the verge of being lost. There's this concentration and fixation on the negativity.
Right.
Now, I don't know how else to phrase this. So, with all due respect, if I was in your position, I wouldn't have mentioned organs or the motorcycle accident or new skin or life support or anything like that, I would have focused thanking grace for my brother a repeat of a fishing trip. We're going to do that again, and I'm glad we're going to do that again, and I can't wait for us to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, remember when we went to that pizza parlor and we saw those two girls fighting and they gave everybody free pizza and the police came and it was better than the movie they were showing? I can't wait till me and my brother go back to that pizza parlor, and I'm grateful that we're going to get to go back. Because that's grace.
Mm-hmm.
There's no negativity in a prayer. A prayer is ask. It doesn't say plead or beg or whine or be hopeful. It says ask and you shall receive. Well, asking for good times, asking for future positive events, asking for past pleasantries and memories to be exuberated more. I want more. It's no different than telling someone, "Do you remember when you made me that dozen cookies? Those were the best cookies I had. I've been wanting more. Would you mind baking me more cookies?" Now that's a prayer. I've loved having a brother. I've loved the years and the things that we've done together, and I want to thank you, and I'm grateful for the years to come. Look what the demand that you're putting on Christ. Look at the conviction and the commitment, because quite frankly, for your prayer to be answered, what would grace have to do but to make your brother whole,
mm-hmm.
and for his life to continue. And you're rejoicing in the present, the past, and you're also rejoicing and looking forward to a healthy, prosperous future.
Right.
That's all over in the book.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tremendous answer, BJ, and I hope for those that... For the email that was sent.
Well,
that you
I don't
like
know
that.
Because
that's a great answer. I'm going to just put some scripture to that. I'm staring at it, and it fits so well because it shows how easy it is for there to be such negativity, and sometimes to stand alone, like you had an opportunity to do, is not easy, and you really have to keep the right focus and right perspective. So, in Numbers 14 and verse 7, this is Joshua and Caleb beginning to speak before all of the Israelites who are afraid to go into the promised land that God brought them to. Now think about it. God brought them through miracle after miracle after miracle. He brings them to the promised land, gives them the evidence through the fruit that was brought from the promised land of how prosperous the land is financially, how prosperous the land is economically with all the fruit. And now they're going to reject him because they've heard that there are some giants in there. Notice here what takes place. Joshua and Caleb stand up and said, "And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are bread to us. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said, 'Stone them with stones.' Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me, with all the signs which I have performed among them?'" Well, this is really a great scripture, again, that shows the importance of every single one of us have the ability to put God first in our life, to go to God and God alone, and watch God do for us the mighty things that God wants to do in our lives. even when we're surrounded by such negativity that seems to be normal and the natural course of life. I'm telling you, creative minds, creative hearts, having an imagination, an open mind, an open heart is ready for the grace of God to do things that people haven't thought of. So this is wonderful. BJ, you got some text messages? Or?
Well, we got one text that says, I tried the Stay Tuned link on the website you just mentioned in the last couple of weeks. It has been showing one that has been recorded about a month ago. You know, I don't know if Jim will agree with what I'm going to say or not, but folks, I don't know what kind of computers you have, what kind of connection you have to the internet, and I'm saying this from 16 years experience with my radio show about horses, and my show's been on the internet for about 6 years now. There are certain machines and certain internet providers, and there's just certain things that just don't work. And so, unfortunately, some people may just not be able to participate in the Facebook live feeds for whatever reason. We've experienced this on Jim's show with the text messaging. Sometimes the text messages work, sometimes they don't. I don't want us to get... I don't want to drown in internet technical stuff. I know that you have a desire and that you want to enjoy as much as you can. That's great. But, I mean, I'm not a big fan of machines, even though this is an internet show. What do you think of that?
Good.
We got an email that came in. It says, Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. The live stream is showing July 30th. Was that the last successful broadcast? That's from somebody in Canada. Folks, we're talking about a lot of interesting things on tonight's show. Just a safety tip from me to you. You might want to focus on tonight's, what we're talking about here. Anyways, this is just somebody else saying, talking about the July.
Okay.
30th
That's fine.
Thing.
Let's go on from there.
Yeah,
until I got your answers.
I want people to be able. I mean, we offer something. It would be nice if it worked, but we're talking about, you know, there's more things at issue here, and so you know, you can help them out, or they can send emails or forward them or something. Okay, we're down to about what? 5, 10, 15, 20. We got about 20, 25 minutes left of this show.
Right.
One thing that Jim and I, Ranger, do you enjoy it? Good girl. She got a mouse today.
Oh, really?
She let it go. She caught a mouse. She brought it over, and I couldn't see the mouse, but there was a little tail, you know, hanging out the corner of her mouth. And I said, well, are you going to eat it, or are you going to let it go? And she kind of gave me that dog look, you know, tilted her head. She walked over by the hay pile in the barn. She put her head down. She opened up her mouth. The mouse fell out, and the mouse just casually walked away. And she just watched it walk away.
Huh.
I don't know what the deal was. Maybe she was full. Who knows how many mice she ate and didn't show me. But I think she just came over to say, hey, check this out. I caught me a mouse in the barn.
She was really staring down my apple the other day.
Your apple?
Yeah.
Well, she brings apples to the front door.
I know.
Her personal best. One night, I let her out to go to the bathroom, and I knew she was out by the front door because I could hear her dog tags, and I thought, well, she's just enjoying the evening air. Boy, was that a mistake. 64 apples.
Oh, wow.
I opened up the door, and I couldn't even get outside. She had to walk around them. She literally, 64 times, went to the apple trees out in the grove and brought apples up to the house.
Well,
I don't know how she does it, because they don't have teeth marks.
She knows how to do it.
Sometimes they don't even have dog slobber on them. Folks, we want to hear from you about tonight's broadcast, either in a text message. The way you text the show is the first word that you type is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Then you can type your text message. And whatever it is, send it to the show. The number is 69302. There's no one. There's no area code. It isn't even a telephone number. It's just a high-speed internet texting number. 69302. It's on the radio show website page, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. Emails. We've had some emails tonight. It's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. Also on the radio show's contact page. Just let us know how you feel about tonight's show. Is it making you think? Are you pondering some of your perspectives, your philosophies, your thoughts? Just let us know, good or bad. If you don't want your name mentioned on the show, just start your message off with, don't mention my name. You don't have to worry about text messages, because we don't know. If someone doesn't say their name, we don't know who sends the text message. And Jim, you got some mail today.
I did, and we have a shout-out of thanks to Dennis Madsen, and he was a real blessing to us, sent us something that we can put towards the show. And then we have another individual that blessed us here, and this is Ken or Lori Saltink, and they blessed us as well. So we just want to thank you for being so kind to send some things to the show. We just put that toward the show and everything that we're doing here to help people week by week. I do have some things over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7.
We got one text that just came in. It says, one thing I can say about the show, I always come away feeling hope. We got an email that said, this is so good, freeing and liberating. I'm relying on grace to totally transform my heart to where all I see is grace. And also grace is abundant to overcome all negative and religious mindsets of the past. No need to be overwhelmed. Grace is there to make it all real. Real life grace. Great show. Good. So these are one email, one text.
Real good. Well, we love the text messages and the emails just to help to confirm what we're doing or to ask questions, as you've heard tonight.
Well, to see if anybody's even listening.
Well, that's always nice, too. So 2 Corinthians 4, 7, I want to give you a perspective from Paul as he looked at some of the things here that he talked about being in his way. And look at how he talks about them instead of majoring on the negative. Look at what he says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul's, what he's saying is we are living examples of being pressed down, but getting right back up, being persecuted, but shaking it off and going right through it. In other words, not giving the time of day to the things that you see versus the energy and the value you give to the things that are not seen. And this is how he concludes this chapter. He says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. He called it light. All these things, being struck down, being persecuted. And there's a whole list of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that literally makes you just shudder with how much Paul went through for the sake of the gospel. And he calls it light afflictions. And he goes on to say, we don't look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal.
He's talking about the difference between heaven and hell and the spirit world and the world of the flesh.
That's right. That's right.
You got to remember that Paul spent so much of his life reaching out to people who either spent time with Christ and enjoyed grace, or they spent time walking around with Jesus and saw the wonderments of grace.
Right.
And they literally had just gone back to their lives.
Right.
This happens all the time, even today.
Yes.
Somebody will see, I hate this word, but it's appropriate. Somebody will see a miracle happen. And they'll say, well, that's God. That's proof that there's God. That's proof that there's grace. And within a couple of hours' times, it's history. And then someone, sometime, a couple months will say, well, I'm not even sure there is a God. And somebody will say, oh, no, there's God. I saw a miracle one time.
Right.
When? Oh, it was a couple months back, but I saw it. What? Do you see the ridiculousness in that statement? I mean, I've said this to Jim countless of times. He'd say, well, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And I'd say, okay, let's see. I can go do this, or I can spend time with the guys and learn more about my relationship with God. Is there a choice there?
Right.
And then I say, why would someone choose to do this when they could spend an afternoon talking with the guys? Does that really make sense? How crazy does that sound? Well, yeah, let's go do this, and I'll get back to Jesus tomorrow. That's literally the craziestness of the flesh and the world.
Sure.
And negative energy, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, he loves those choices.
Right.
Because it's like I said, stealing a car, murder, yeah, they're sins, but they're not as bad as someone choosing to turn their back on an occasion, right, on an opportunity to become closer to the guys, to have a conversation with Christ, to literally be so immersed in grace, it's like you stepped into a shower and turned the water on and you're fully dressed. Who makes that choice? Why would someone choose that? Because that's part of tonight's topic on perspective and what is real and exactly what are you thinking? What the choices that you're making.
Right.
No one's putting a gun to your head and saying, you know what? If you even think about grace, I'm going to blow your brains out. If you even talk about grace, it's the end for you. No one's doing that.
Yeah. When I look at all these different passages that we've already talked about with Abraham and his son, with Joshua and Caleb before the whole nation of Israel, with Paul and all of the things that he went through, especially when he stood up for the gospel of Christ. And then I'm looking at another passage here, Jonah, and when he was in the belly of the fish. No matter how real the things of this world seem to you to be, there is a greater reality. There is. The very fact that you could even look in Scripture and find in the Bible, the book, stories of people's experiences and testimonies with grace, their experiences with God, and how when a connection is made, when the heart is convinced, when there's a passion for Christ and God's involved, things are always changed from what is seen to a different reality of what is seen, where tumors disappear, where the mouths of lions were stopped, where a Red Sea was pushed back and people walked on dry ground. From one experience to the next, you see God involved with man, and there's always something wonderful and amazing that takes place. But this is the decision that a person has to make. And the reason why we put such emphasis on you making choices yourself is because it can become that real for you personally instead of just going to a healing line. Now, I have healing lines, okay? So in one sense, I'd be a hypocrite to say, don't ever go to one while I end up having them. But what I'm saying is we're trying to help each individual to have God be as real to you as you're trying to let God be because you get prayed for by someone else. You can have grace right where you're at and not even have to go to another state.
Well, if I was going to have a meeting, it would be called There's Really Nothing Wrong.
Right. And let's talk. Why don't you say what you said earlier about what the line should be called? Instead of going to get a healing, it would be going to what?
I'm standing in line to access myself to my own grace.
Right.
I'm standing in line because I want my grace. I'm standing in line because I'm ready for my grace.
Right.
That makes a lot more sense.
Right. Which would be an admitting that there's been something wrong in the way that I've been seeing things, that I haven't been walking in grace. Because everybody has it. It's just a matter of using it.
We got some emails. We got one that says, almost 1 year ago, my daughter gave birth to very premature triplets. According to the doctors, they each had less than a 10% chance of survival. Within 48 hours, one of the babies began to fail fast. We were told that she was dying. I left the intensive care unit and sat in the waiting room facing a beautiful sunset. Probably I was too exhausted to let self enter in. So I sat and watched the sunset and thought that God could speak the world into existence and make the sunset was so exhilarating that I was caught up in that. When I was done, I walked back in the intensive care unit and decided I wanted to go back to the hotel and get a good night's sleep, which I did. I got a call a few hours later saying that miraculously this little baby had turned a corner. In 2 weeks, we will be celebrating their first birthdays. And that's from Keisha.
And that's a great example. Yep. It really is good.
Remember, folks, pre-read when you send me things. So if it's not me misspeaking. Sometimes people are so excited they...
Right.
Yeah. We got one here. It says, hi, Ranger, BJ and Jim. Enjoying the show tonight. I had a meeting earlier that ran late and needed to run an errand after that and didn't think I was going to make it by 8. But Grace took care of all of it and I was here tuned in at 8 p.m. and couldn't have done that. Not trying to explain that anymore, just putting the credit where it belongs. Progress is being made. Sometimes I still get frustrated, like I am in and out, but I catch it faster. Keep it up. So appreciative, you guys, and I share the message with others every chance I get. This is from Christine in Omaha. We got another one here that says, got the answer. Jim, BJ, and Ranger, have to say this is so good tonight. Got answers tonight in so many ways. This is from someone named Linda. Okay, we got another one here that says, hi, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and all the listeners. Your show is helping me to move forward daily and to be filled with hope. I'm devaluing. See, I love this word, mm-hmm. Devaluing. I'm devaluing many things and refusing to be caught up in drama. I am devaluing many things right. And refusing to be caught up in drama. I love that sentence. Buildings and structures no longer hold the esteem I used to give them. I'm excited about how grace is working in my life. I'm valuing my relationship with God and getting a better perspective perspective all the time. Now listen to this. In one sentence, this is from Catherine in Canada. It says, I'm devaluing many things and refusing to be caught up in the drama. I'm valuing my relationship with God. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's like that. It's like that balance scale where you put your gold in one pan and then they have the weights in the other.
Sure.
And you have to balance the scale so they're even. Well, it's like those two train locomotives. Where are you throwing wood? What locomotive is getting your efforts, your focus, and your concentration and energy? And that's the same as valuing and devaluing.
Yeah, I like that.
We got another email here.
These are really good emails, by the way. So
they
keep,
are. Well,
keep sending them.
It is. It says, good evening, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. It's been amazing listening to your teachings. Over the past few weeks, you guys have continued to reveal more of the basic truth of grace. With every show, we feel as if scales are being lifted from over our eyes. I have noticed with every teaching that this reality always push against the ground we have gained through your teachings of grace. And we are always called to make a stand and make a choice, to either go the way we have always gone or to go the way of grace. And we have noticed that there is such peace in going the way of grace, and the guys always take charge and dissolve every obstacle that opposes our convictions of grace. Good night to all fellow listeners across the globe. Jim and BJ, keep pressing into all the different dimensions of grace. And this is from Wendell.
Okay, we haven't heard from Wendell in a long time.
No, you know who we haven't heard from in a long time? The kitchen counter people.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from the people that live in Trinidad by the South Pole. And, you know, winter's coming on. You know, so Trinidad is going to be like 30 feet under snow. And we haven't heard from Trinidad in a long time. We got another email here that says, okay, I think through some inadvertent learning that I picked up in buildings, I have been comparing apples to oranges and not realized it. Can you address the difference between what we are learning to do by accessing grace ourselves and praying for someone else who just needs help now? How do I pray for someone when there isn't anything really wrong, but they are unaware of it? This is from Christine. Jim, you want to take that
first? Sure. I mean, when you're praying for somebody else, whether they're aware of it or not, just like we were talking about a few moments ago, you're giving them grace, God's grace or the anointing of God. You're putting that on them. You're helping them to make a connection with your connection. Now, here's the deal. The difference is whether somebody's going to say, I really want that grace because if I can experience it, then I can have it myself. Or, like we've done in so many services, where the same people come up 100 different times and nothing ever changes because there's something wrong in their perspective, and most of it goes back to there's no connection in their life with God on their own. This is the reason why we're putting the emphasis of the show not on training you to release the grace of God on somebody else as much as to begin to enjoy it yourself, because what you enjoy, you can pass on. What you're not sure of, you'll never pass on.
That was really good.
Oh, well, it's nice to have a good one once in a while.
Well, it isn't just once in a while.
Well, sometimes.
Are you feeling unloved and ignored?
No, not in fact, you know what?
What?
The last email was Jim, BJ, and Ranger. I'm usually last. But the two or three that were before that were Ranger, BJ, and Jim. So it was nice. This person, you know.
I don't even pay attention to that.
Well, you know, your mind pays attention to certain things, and my mind pays attention to other things.
To how the email is titled? Well, why don't... Okay, folks, from now on, don't title anything with BJ and Ranger in it. Just make them all to Jim.
No, I like that they're talking to BJ and Ranger. It's nice. I'm just saying...
The ones that make me smile are the ones that mention the horses or the barn cats.
Yeah, I like those, too.
Or Ranger.
I do, too.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that little stuff.
You know what? I really don't either. I'm just kind of kidding.
You brought it up. You're counting. You even had a number. So when you say I really don't.
But what I'm saying is it really doesn't mean anything to me.
No.
I'm just making fun.
No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't, Jim. No, we're all on your side. You're right.
You're making fun, but the truth is really, I really could care less. But I'm just having fun on the show, making an issue of it.
Of course you are.
Oh, go ahead and be my psychologist right now. I'll just lay down while you give
me
those syrupy words.
That wasn't syrupy. That was like major...
Sarcastic.
No, that was condescending.
Yeah, it was, totally.
You know, you always ask me what condescending was. Uh-huh. That was condescending.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have people talk to me at the next meeting. I can't believe he condescends to you like that.
You know what you should say? You should say the show is sugar-coated. You should be in the barn when there's no microphones and headphones going.
Right. It's like we said earlier.
Someone
said earlier when someone's like, oh, I've got to meet BJ. I just can't wait till I meet him someday. And it's like, no, I don't think you'll ever meet him. Well, what do you mean? I really want to meet him. No, you really don't want to meet him. I've bled enough for everyone. You don't want to meet him.
That's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
Oh, gee.
That cracks me up. Are you ready to say something to music?
I am. And by the way, we are, for those of you, we're off point quite a bit about the whole live streaming. We are figuring it out.
Oh.
So it will be settled by next week's show.
Here we go. Hi, Jim, and the two other folks there.
Hey. There you go. Are you kidding? See, no. See what you said made him feel like he had
believe,
to do that.
Okay, see, this makes my point. You say, I'm not counting, I'm just joking, and then you go, hey, there you go.
I just said see, that to have fun.
That's called a Freudian slip.
No, folks, listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Go ahead. Backstroke all you want, buddy.
Not at all.
Go ahead.
I enjoy being able to have fun on the show, even at my own expense. So sometimes, just for fun, I'll put myself out there. So really and truly, I don't care if it's High Ranger, BJ Jim, BJ Jim Ranger, Jim,
you know what?
BJ Ranger, or however it's said, I'm just glad people are writing the show.
If you open this door,
listen, I walk across the
if you open this door and you go over kind of in a southwesterly direction.
Sure, I know.
Open
what you're
up,
gonna say.
Open up the other door, and then you walk about 45 to 50 feet. There is a huge agricultural manure spreader that is empty that you could really just fill up right now with what you're saying. And I would be more than happy to spread it on the fields.
Well, you know what? Maybe sometime we'll just do that. We'll see how far it spreads.
All right. We got this. It says, hi, Jim, and the other two folks there. Ha, ha, ha. BJ once mentioned thanking Grace for fixing a flat tire. I don't know if he was speaking hypothetically, but it caused me to ask myself, why would that not be something a person can ask God to do and get results? Where did you think the limitations we put on what God can do for us
That's good.
Have their roots? Why do you think we sometimes believe certain things are easier than others for God to fix? For example, to tell someone God can heal their toothache would usually be more acceptable than saying God can give them a brand new tooth. Thanks, listening from Canada.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Yeah,
how we categorize things, what you think of them, and your perspective of them all.
I thank Grace. I don't even know how many times a day I thank Grace. I don't know. Because I see Grace a lot. I probably see Grace, I don't know. I don't even know how much, unmeasurable amounts. I see Grace so much that if all I did was count and record it, I don't even think I'd get out of bed in the morning. I wouldn't be able to do anything because I'd be so busy saying, Grace, 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 Grace. Okay, here's mm-hmm. Grace, here's Grace. But that's the way it was that's the way it was.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me, times I've mentioned to people, the more religious a person is, and you say, well, that's Grace, they'll go, oh. Well, okay. But then the less religious they are, you say, well, that's the grace of God. Really? Yeah, it is. Oh, that's wonderful. It's very interesting, the responses of people when you help them to recognize that it is. The more religious they are, the harder it is for them to take what you say
yep.
with grace and accept it and say, that's awesome. That's really good.
Well, you know, and I'm going to put it this way. There are a lot of companies, a lot of corporations, even small family-owned businesses that would rather hire someone with no experience than hire someone that has a lot of experiences other places because they have to tell them, no, that's not the way we do it here.
Yeah,
they have to rewire. It's like rewiring a car to work the way you want it to. It's just easier to have a blank page, someone that doesn't know anything, and you can train them and show them exactly how you want it done. And by the by, think for a second about those 12 guys that followed Jesus around.
Mm-hmm.
There's no documentation of grace being turned on and turned off or dimmed like a dimmer switch on a dining room chandelier.
Right.
They were literally experiencing grace 24/7.
Right. A brand new lifestyle. Everything new.
They dropped their tools, left their families, left their jobs, and they turned towards Christ. All right. You ready for music?
Yes. Well, for everyone listening tonight, we're thankful that you're with us. We've had a lot of fun tonight. But within the seriousness of the context of what we're talking about, thank God that we can go to God ourselves and have just as much confidence as if someone else were praying for us. So open up your heart and open up your mind. Let God show you. Let grace be a part of your life, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. Give you more confidence and more tangibility that God is real. So you can look and disdain and devalue all those situations around you and recognize that grace is far greater. And like you heard tonight, some of the prayers BJ mentioned, just begin to say it so simply. Lord, I've enjoyed such wonderful health in this area for so many years. I just thank you, Grace, for all the health I get to enjoy for the next 20 and 30 years. And watch grace cause your bodies to feel so good, so healthy, so strong. So be encouraged tonight. Not only see it everywhere, use it every day. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good.
You know, that's my favorite part of the night.
What?
When you were just giving some examples of your thoughts about prayer.
Really?
And about, yeah, and about just, because it just makes so much sense that real prayer isn't so much begging God to do something as it is the thanking of what you've already been experiencing, and why wouldn't grace allow you to continue to experience it?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like that email we got where you're thanking grace for having a brother, and you're thanking grace for the time that you've had, the time that you are experiencing, and you can't wait to experience more adventures and more fun and become closer with your brother. There's no time in there to thank or even to worry about any negativity.
Yeah. It's not a part of it.
Well, we had 8 text messages and 17 emails.
Yeah, I thought all of that was, in my opinion, it's right on par, right where we want to be.
My favorite part of doing the shows is always the text messages and the emails.
Sure.
I enjoy them all. I like them all.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, folks, just a little bit of housekeeping here. Tomorrow night, the Hardesty Library. Check out now here's the deal. He's got 2 Facebook pages. So you want the Facebook page that's titled Jim Huckaday Ministries. And one way that you can get to the correct Facebook page is if you go to the Jim Huckaday Ministry website.
Right.
And then click on there. And that's tomorrow night. It's from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time here in the United States of America.
Yes.
It's going to take me about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded. And then it'll be up and streaming 24/7 until next Tuesday night's live broadcast. And I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. People have never listened before. Don't be shy. Reach out to us. And I thought we had a good show.
I liked it. It's good.
And
yeah, there are some good things we said tonight that helped me. That was
really
good. Yep.
Well, you don't say that very often, so that's kind of interesting.
Yep, real good. Paying attention, writing things down.
Tomorrow night, Hardesty Library.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good.
All right, folks. I want thank you to listening. Thanks for all the texts and emails and the people that listen out there. Thanks to the people that send us letters. I'll be going to the P.O. Box next Tuesday, so if you want to send something, I'll make sure that we get it. Take care of yourselves and your horses. And Ranger, remember, folks, dog spelled backwards is.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Way to go, Ranger.